So does anybody know what today is in the Christian church? Pentecost Sunday. Does everybody know what Pentecost Sunday is? Of course you do. Of course you do. But just in case it's been a while, let me just remind you. So Pentecost Sunday is the day in the Christian church when we celebrate the day that the Holy Spirit came from heaven and fell upon the disciples who were gathered together, and it was the 50th day, Pente 50th, so it was the 50th day after the resurrection of Jesus Christ when they were gathered together, just like Jesus had told them to stay, to gather together until you receive power from on high, and so they were there. And I want to take us, and so, okay, and so the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and so, and the church for years has said that that's the day that the church was born. That the church was kind of birthed, if you will, the Christian church on that day. So I want to take us to that story, and I want to engage a little bit with it today. So you have your candles, right? Everybody got a candle? All right. All right. If we were super cool, maybe one day we'd get to have flamethrowers. Wouldn't that be wild? That would be wild. So, all right, so let me take you to Acts chapter 2 this morning. The disciples were in each other's company, gathered together. According to Peter, it was about 9 a.m.-ish in the morning, which meant they would have been together, praying together as a group. And suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And it went away just like that. Now get your candle. Now you got to hold it up. Maybe somewhere just kind of above your head, right? Okay, there we go. All right. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Amen. Okay, so you can turn your light off if you want. Simple, I know. But maybe as you think about holding that candle, you'll think it'd just be a reminder to what I want to share with you this morning here on Pentecost Sunday. And so on that day, there they are. They're gathered together. The Holy Spirit came to earth like the sound of a violent wind and landed what seemed like tongues of fire. And I thought about this week and I wondered if maybe earth, wind, and fire were playing in the background. For those of you who are like, who is that? Ask somebody that's got gray hair or no hair. I don't know. They might tell you as well. But that's the last of my bad jokes. Anyways. So I couldn't help it, man. This week I was like, I have to do that. Absolutely. I've got to do that. The Holy Spirit came upon them that day as the Holy Spirit still comes upon believers today. I know we look back to that story and we go, wow, that was amazing. But does that really still happen today? And yes, the Holy Spirit still comes upon people's lives today. There's probably no sound of violent wind or no tongues of fire landing on their head, if you will. But he still comes upon the life of every believer in Jesus. And when he comes, his presence comes with a purpose. His presence comes with a purpose. And that purpose is to sanctify you. And you go, oh no, I'm dialing it out. That's this churchy word, and I don't know what that means. And so, that's fine. Not that you dial me out, but it's okay that if you hear a word like sanctify, and you go, I don't really know what that means. I don't really care about that word. Let's learn. It's not hard. Really, it's not hard at all. To sanctify means to set apart as holy. To sanctify means to set apart as holy. The Apostle Paul in Romans 15:16, I want to put the screen up here. He he was doing ministry, and he had preached the gospel, and people were getting saved, and churches were starting, and it was amazing. And he offers this statement about why he was doing everything he was doing. And he says, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. For somebody to be acceptable to God, they need to believe in the gospel, to believe in Jesus Christ, his identity and his work and his words. They need to believe that. Paul went out preaching that like crazy because he knew that that's where people are going to find salvation. But what's going to make them acceptable to God is not really going to be through him. It's going to be through the work of the Holy Spirit in their life. They will be set apart, not by Paul, but by the Holy Spirit. God will do that work. He will make them holy. Do you know that God created you to live in a pure relationship with him? God created you to live in a pure relationship with him. Sin stained that perfection. The cost was separation from God. Yet in the fullness of time, what does God do? He sends his son Jesus, who offers salvation so that we could be restored. Now listen to this. This is important. So that we could be restored to a whole, pure, loving relationship with God and each other. Not for you to be zealous with religion, not for you to be better than everybody else, or so that you could have a whole, pure, loving relationship with God and other people. You know, can you remember when you chose to trust in Jesus? You don't have to raise your hand, but if you just think about it, can you remember when you began to start trusting in Jesus with your life, okay? And when you put your faith in Jesus, God cleansed you of the stain of sin, forgave you of your rebelliousness against God, and he brought you into a right relationship with God as a new family member in his kingdom. You were now set apart to love God and love people. You were set apart to love God and to love people more than yourself. You're still in the world, but you're now set apart not to live worldly, but to love God and to love people in the world, to die to self and to live for Christ. That you would forgive your enemies. That you would be patient with people who test your patience. Do you have anybody like that in your web of relationships? Right? Test your patience. I'm not talking about your kids. Well, maybe, but still. But that you would choose to love when, honestly, you could choose to give something else. The Holy Spirit sanctified you. Set you apart that you would live the type of life that you were created to live in the very beginning. I love that. I love it. I also love to run. And is that not a weird segue? So I brought some of my running shoes today with me. You said some. Don't you need just one? Well, perhaps. Well, this is not working as smooth as I had hoped. All right, so I have three pairs of shoes that I have brought here today. I'm not endorsing any brand names on the shoes. These are just the ones that I have. They work well for my feet. So I'm going to put this on the table here so that way I don't get the cloth dirty. All right, so I brought three different pairs of shoes so that you could see them. You say, why did I do that? Because, all right, All right, I need a volunteer. Lincoln, you want to help me? You want to help Pastor Andy? Come on. Come here. Come here. You want to help me? No, I don't know about that. That's it. Come on, buddy. You want to help me? Come here. Can we welcome Lincoln as the helper this morning? Come here. Can you stand right here? Stay right here next to me. All right. Are you okay if you touch my shoe? You want to hold my shoe? You want to hold it? Can you hold it up above your head so everybody can see it? Hold it up above your head, real high. Hold it up above your head. I'll do it too. You ready? We'll do it together. Here we go. Hold it up like that. It feels like a Lion King or something, but it's not. It's okay. It's all good. Yeah, you're good, buddy. So this particular pair of shoes that I have, you like the green and the yellow? That's kind of cool, isn't it? Yeah. All right. So these are the shoes that I use for running, longer distances. So if I go on what I call a long run, I will tend to wear these shoes, right? So they're designed specifically for that running a little bit more so than these. Now, if I'm going to do what they call speed work, some training, so if I want to run shorter distances but faster, you want to hold this one instead? You want to switch it? Let's switch it. That'll be cool. Let's do that. Okay. I will run in these. Okay. Now, these shoes are lighter. They breathe better. They have a spring in the... I wish they had a spring. That'd be great. But they have a pretty responsive, so it can, like, the good response as I'm running, pushing off, right? It's really good. So it helps you to run a little bit faster, and it feels different. You feel faster when you wear these. These are good, all right? You want to go to the third pair? Let's do the third pair. All right, I'll take that one. I'll trade you, and then I will give you this. Okay, now, so on the days that I run what we call a recovery run, so that's the time when... after I've done a long run, I just need to go run and let my muscles flush out some of the lactic acid and just take it easy, right? So with those runs, I want something that's a little comfy. I don't have to work too hard at it. And so these are about retired, but these were a good pair of shoes that I could do that with, and I enjoy doing that. So I had, you ready? Can you hold it up? You want to try? No, I don't want to hit your hair because your hair is super good. I wouldn't want to take the chance of hitting your hair. You did a good job. I'm proud of you. Can you give me some knuckles? Dude, you're awesome. Thank you, Lincoln. You got it, huh? That was fun. I really enjoyed that. Okay, why did I do that? Because what I've learned is that if I use the shoes for a reason beyond which they were made, that they don't work as well. They, if I use them as an everyday shoe, then the foam in it gets pressed down more. It's not as responsive. If I'm out playing ball in them and that kind of stuff, I tear up the bottom that are designed for the traction, running on road, yada, yada, yada. I just end up tearing them up. I think there's a lesson in that. If we take what we're given, use it as it's to be used for, as it was created for, you get the best out of what you have. God sanctifies you, sets you apart as holy, because He's created that as the best for you. And when you live in that way, you get the best out of your life that God has created you to experience with Him and through Him with His Spirit within you. I found that to be a fun little illustration to help teach about being sanctified. I really think that every Christian should embrace the Holy Spirit's presence because He comes with a purpose. Set us apart as holy in the kingdom. That's what we were created for and to live. And we can't get there without the Holy Spirit. We need His working presence in us. It's critical. But the Holy Spirit also does something else, and that is that the Holy Spirit empowers believers to be effective for God. One of the neatest things I've read in the Gospels is when Jesus tells the disciples, He says, I'm sending you out, and you are going to do amazing things. But He gets specific, and He talks about you're going to heal the sick, you are going to, like, miracles, people are going to be sick, and you're going to heal them. You're going to deliver people from demons, which blows my mind. You're not going to die from snake bites or poison. You're going to have wise discernment of the scriptures beyond your education. I mean, miracles were going to happen through them. I mean, he's telling them, you're going to do some amazing things, but you can't do them until you are, till you receive power from on high, because it's not going to be you doing them, it's going to be God doing them through you. So if you're going to actually do those things, you need the Spirit of God to do them through you. So you wait in Jerusalem until the Spirit comes. Acts chapter 2, right? So the fulfillment of that. Even today, the Holy Spirit gives us power to be effective. I am a walking testimony to that. When I started in pastoral ministry, I was working full time. I was still in the accounting world. I had no Bible training. By all intents and purposes, I feel like I shouldn't have been doing what I was doing in life of the church, but felt I had a calling and needed to flesh that out, right, and serve. But as I began to volunteer, I'm doing youth ministry and, I mean, worship, just associate pastor. I get to preach and teach sometimes. Oh, man, I'm doing all sorts of stuff. And after a little bit, I began to think about, man, if I'm doing this for a career, this is kind of daunting. Like, every Sunday, I'm going to have to put together a message and talk about something. How am I going to know what to say? And people are going to come to me with stuff, and they're going to want some kind of good answer. I can't just stare at them. Like, I have to come back with something. People are going to be dealing with stuff that I've never had to deal with. How in the world am I going to be able to do this? I'm only in my 20s. That's been a while. How am I going to handle that? And my pastor, who was my mentor at the time, I'm so grateful for him, he taught me two statements that have served me well, and I've carried them with me, and I still do today. I've learned they are true. One, the Holy Spirit equips those that he calls to serve him. The Holy Spirit equips those he calls. When he originally taught me that by saying, God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. You say yes, God will give you everything you need to do what he's called you to do. But you got to say yes. I'll talk more on that next Sunday. Number two, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak because Jesus promised it. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak when you don't know what to say for the cause of Christ because Jesus promised that he will. Exactly what he told his disciples. He said, when you go out and you've got to talk about the gospel and talk about me and people question you and you don't know what to say, don't worry about it because the Holy Spirit is going to give you the words to say. Why? So that their words will glorify the Father in heaven, will bring the truth of the story of Jesus Christ, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, all that he taught. God will see that that story and his glory is front stage and not you. And the way that you may say it may sound a little different than the way that he says it and the way that she says it, but it's not about you. It's about the Holy Spirit will use you to draw people to Jesus, to speak the gospel. He'll give you wisdom beyond your years. I am a walking testament that that is exactly what God does. I have story after story that I could share with you today where I stood in moments and I didn't know what to say, but yet God gave me a word to say. I just had to be willing to open my mouth, which I know is hard to believe, and just start to speak. With Jesus on my heart, wanting God to be glorified, and caring for the person that I'm right in front of. I found that's a powerful recipe that God will bless. Because that's dying to self, that's living for Christ, And it's loving the person right in front of you. If you think about a life that God's created and saved you for, that's it. A holy life, to love God and to love people. You are set apart for that life. The Holy Spirit comes into your life with the purpose of setting you apart for that life. Not for just common worldliness. To be in the world as a follower of Jesus who doesn't live a worldly life. Holy Spirit will be effective through you so that you are effective for God. Man, but you just got to be willing to step out and say, here I am. Speak through me. Use me. I don't know if I feel like maybe what I'm doing is making a difference, Lord, but I'm doing this because I just want you to be glorified and I want people to be loved. Man, that's a holy life. That's a beautiful, powerful life. And yes, we can say that's sanctified living for those who are sort of kind of old school in the church. Well, sanctifies. Isn't that a fun word, Dorothy? I like that. Sanctifies us. And he empowers us to be effective. And he also, I like this one. He gives us, this is my third last one today, that he gives us assurance of salvation with God. I love this verse. It's Romans 5:5. It's one of my favorite verses. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I love it. Let that sink in for a second. You sit here today, wherever you are, and the Spirit of God is within you. God is within you. The Holy Spirit has been given to us. Don't ever think that you are commonplace, that you are not valuable, that you don't have worth, that you can't amount to something. No, because you see, the God that is within you is a God who loves you and values you and sees that you are somebody who is greatly to be treasured. You are special. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Just because you may not think that way about yourself doesn't make it true. See, when you come to Jesus, he pours his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And the Spirit assures us that we have hope, that the Jesus you believe in truly accomplished your salvation at the cross. And when he said, I'll be with you always to the end of the age, and he says, I'm coming back, oh, he's coming. And he has loved you with an everlasting love. Just because you look in the mirror and you don't see anybody else around you, God says, I am with you. And if I am with you and I am for you, then who can be against you? Because if you got me, you win. Right. You're never alone. I'm always walking with you. And I'm always willing to speak words of wisdom that I know you need to hear. And can I encourage us for a second? Yes, pray and listen to God. But oftentimes the wisdom that we want God to give us is wisdom that comes through the Scriptures. So while we may want God to speak wisdom to us, it is most often when we go into the Scriptures where God speaks to us the wisdom that he needs us to hear. So what does that mean? That means you got to be reading your Bible. You got to be in the Word. Not just Sunday morning. I'm talking about throughout the week. You've got to be in the Bible. You got to read. It might be a verse a day. It might be a chapter a day. It might be just a passage, right? Just open the Bible and just read a little bit. Because the Holy Spirit is going to speak speak to you through the scriptures as you read that. You say, well, I don't know any. It doesn't matter. God still teaches you. Irregardless of what educational level you're at, the Holy Spirit doesn't need your education to teach you truth and wisdom. He needs you to say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. He'll speak through that. It's your faith that unlocks the door. A faith that spends some time with God in the scriptures. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit with a purpose. Set you apart. Be in the world, but not of the world. To empower you to be effective for Christ. You have your plans, and that's great. But make sure Christ is at the forefront of what your plans are all about. He'll make you effective for His work. And the Holy Spirit assures us of our salvation. I don't feel like I'm worth being saved. Oh, I really screwed up. Oh, this is really bad. I don't know. Da, da, da. God, He must probably never did love me. Da, 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 da. Can I tell you, that is not God saying any of that stuff. See, the Holy Spirit speaks hope through truth. And if you believe in Christ, which is to say, I know it here and I love it here, I have an assurance of salvation. For all who call on the name of the Lord in faith shall be saved. The Lord has promised that if I will stay faithful to Him, that when He returns, He will call me to be with Him. I have nothing to worry about. I may perish and fade away from this world, but God has said, yeah, but I have much greater in store for you. I'll take care of you today and forever. Like, it's so good. And we could talk so much about what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that over the next 2 weeks. And so I encourage you to come and learn that. And we're going to learn some other things that the Holy Spirit, His presence and His power comes into our lives on purpose. We're going to explore that a little bit. You say, well, that's great, but that's kind of boring. And that's okay. But parents and grandparents, let me tell you, please listen. I'll speak as a parent. One of the greatest theological truths that you can teach your child is God. You say, well, duh. Yeah, but I'm talking about the presence of God in our lives through faith. God with them. God working with them. God working for their good. God watching over them. You say, well, I teach them this all the time. Congratulations. Keep doing it. In a world that is against, very much against Christianity and godliness, our kids have to be growing up learning that the power of God is upon them. And that God is true and that His Word is truth. God loves them. And it will be hard when they stand out in a world that doesn't embrace the Christian faith. Yes, and that's why they need to know that the Holy Spirit is with them. He will give them the power to be effective. He has set them apart to be holy in an unholy world. This is why this stuff is so important, that we learn this so that we teach our kids. And hey, look, even when the world tells you that you're dumb for what you believe, you have salvation if you'll hold on to your faith. God has promised that for you. You must be faithful to God. He's faithful to you. Hold on. I'm praying for you. I'm in your corner. I know it's going to be hard. But we'll do it together. Come on, you got this. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Our kids need to know the work and the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that's why I want to talk about this series these few weeks here, okay? All right, I'm off my hobby horse. I'm good. Thank you for letting me do that. That wasn't in my notes either. That was free, so congratulations. I want to see us continue to reach families in this community and see marriages that didn't know what God could do for them change their marriage. Families that didn't know how God could transform their home life, see that happen. I want to see that stuff continue to happen for years to come in our communities around here. Because He's that kind of God. He's a Pentecostal God. Who loves our neighbors. So let's love our neighbors like He loves them. And be a holy people. Amen. Amen.